Okay, so now we're going to talk about when insurance and indemnities go wrong. And what we're going to do, just to kind of illustrate some points here, is just a quick case study of the BP case. I'm sure you all remember in the Gulf of Mexico with the Transocean, and we all saw the videos of the oil and everything going out into the water for days. So what happened here was there was a contract between BP and Transocean. And as is typical of the case, you've got the big BP telling Transocean, you know, we've got our contract, we've got our indemnities, but oh, by the way, throw me on to your insurance policies that is an additional insured. So if anything happens, I'll be covered however you're covered, and we'll be just fine and dandy. So what happened was they had some indemnities in the contract. Transocean was going to indemnify BP for any damage and pollution that occurred above the water. And then BP was retaining liability for pollution that happened below the water. That was in their indemnities in the contract. And then, of course, the big one, Transocean had to go out and name BP as an additional insured under the Transocean policy. Unfortunately, as we will see for BP, there was this throwaway language that said for liabilities assumed by Transocean, right? So whatever you, Transocean, are assuming liability in our contract, you're going to go out and make me an additional insured. Well, Transocean did what they were supposed to do. They went out and they got BP named as an additional insured, and BP got its certificate of insurance, and everybody was happy. The policy provision itself said that, you know, BP will be named as additional insured, and the additional insured language said that we, the insurance company, will recognize anyone as an additional insured, anyone that Transocean was required to name as additional insured, like BP, and obliged to provide insurance. So the explosion happened, insurance company denies liability, so they go to the Texas Supreme Court via the Fifth Circuit. The Texas Supreme Court's first holding said, hey, BP is an additional insured, just like it was supposed to be under the four corners of the insurance policy. That's typically what you look at. You know, can you find their name? Can you find them as an additional insured? So the first holding BP was very happy with. However, the policy language, so the language in the policy, connected the additional insured coverage back to the indemnities assumed by Transocean in the contract, okay? So specifically, when the policy said there'll be an additional insured, but only to the extent of the liabilities you, Transocean, assumed, and that you and the people that you, Transocean, were obliged to provide coverage for, that is who is an additional insured. And so they said, actually, in this case, BP did not have coverage, even though on the face of it, they were an additional insured. But they said, BP, you don't have coverage here for below the surface pollution, because that was not a liability assumed by Transocean in the contract. So therefore, Transocean was not obliged to get coverage for it. So therefore, you're not actually an additional insured for this purpose. And so what made this such an important holding, this is a 2015 Texas Supreme Court holding, was that it was really the first time, there were hints of it before, but this is the first time, and in certainly a Texas Supreme Court case, where they said, listen, you don't need to just look at the policy, you need to see the way that the indemnities and the policies interact, the insurance policy and the indemnities in the contract interact. They're often incongruent in many of the transactions I've ever seen, and your clients are going to be exposed to a lot of things here. So because of that, we're going to talk through some indemnity and insurance considerations when you're walking into these leases.
So just basically talking about indemnities and leases, I know in lease negotiations I have often heard, well, that's just not fair. Usually they're very heavily, you start with something that's very heavily favorable to the landlord, but it's really just a matter of who should be responsible for this risk. And it really should be divided between landlord and tenant in a way that's consistent with the insurance requirements in the lease and applicable laws. It's based on the insurability of the claims by each party, who controls the property and the persons involved, causation generally, which can be split up among various ways in the provision itself, and other financial considerations, you know, such as which party is the larger party, who can better bear the risk, et cetera.